This is a commercial-free archive edition of our live radio show that airs every Friday at noon Arizona time on OpenMinds.tv.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host, Alejandro Rojas, former Director of Public Education and official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network. Alejandro has been a UFO paranormal researcher and journalist for nearly a decade and has logged hours in the field investigating the paranormal up close and personal. And now, Open Minds Radio presents evidence and the latest news regarding the UFO phenomena. Here's your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hello and welcome to Open Minds Radio. This is Alejandro Rojas, and we have another amazing show today. Our guest is Barbara Lamb. She's an abduction researcher. I'm really excited about this because I haven't had her on the show before, and I'm a big fan of her work. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist who's facilitated thousands of regressions. She's taken the abduction experiences reported to her seriously and has been a help to hundreds of people who have been traumatized or just confused by these experiences. So she's going to share with us her perspectives and experience on this very controversial and strange occurrence, people claiming to be abducted by aliens. Is it really happening? Well, we'll hear why this therapist believes that it is happening. If you want to read more about her, you can go to Barbara Lamb, and her name is spelled BarbaraLamb.com. MFT standing for Marriage and Family Therapist. However, before we get to Barbara, we're going to cover our UFO news headlines from conventional media around the world. If you go to openminds.tv, we update it on a regular basis. We keep a close eye on the news going on around the world about UFOs. And believe it or not, there is news. And this is conventional. This is Fox News, MSNBC, all the big guys. They're talking about UFOs, and you can go see the evidence right there on the website. We've got our correspondent, Jason McClellan. Jason, what was the UFO news for the week?
Thanks, Alejandro. In the news this week, Canadian Defense Minister Peter MacKay still does not know what the mysterious object over Newfoundland was last week, but he announced that the federal government will be stepping in to take action. MacKay was quoted as saying, "We will provide money to build a landing strip for UFOs." He quickly made it clear that he was only joking and that he feels there is no need to worry about the unidentified flying object, but there is still no official explanation for the object.
Yep, very strange. I think there's a picture up on one of these news stories, too, of this thing, but weird stuff flying around up there, people.
There was one, Bjorn Borg, a 63-year-old Finnish UFO researcher, who actually claim that this type of sighting happens every single year, and it's simply weather hitting the sunlight of the vapor trail of airlines.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, you would think the Prime Minister and all these other people would say that it happens all the time. And looking at the picture, it doesn't really look like where an airliner would be flying.
Right, yeah. And this picture, it definitely looks like a solid object. And the concern was that actually it's a missile, because it looks like a missile, but then who would have launched a missile from that area? So
there was a lot of talking back and forth between governments with France and different countries about, well,
right,
did you fire a missile? No, okay. So
we didn't do it. Did you do it?
Right.
So another mystery.
Also in the news, President Obama on Monday announced the cancellation of NASA's Constellation program. This is a program that was designed to take humans back to the moon. The program, initiated by former President George W. Bush, was too costly, behind schedule, and lacking in innovation, according to President Obama. NASA has already spent $9 billion on the Constellation program. The program's resource drain on other U.S. space agency activities led to its axing, and the president plans to turn to private companies to help initiate a new era of launching humans into space. In his budget announcement, President Obama said he plans to allocate $6 billion to NASA for research to be done here on Earth, while other funds are planned to be used to incentivize private companies to research and develop new types of propulsion systems, spacecraft, and new exploration strategies. There have already been concerns voiced about safety of space vehicles manufactured by private companies, But under this new program, NASA would set and oversee all standards, especially safety standards.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people in the space industry, aerospace industry, involved with UFOs. And I have some friends in the industry, and they were saying, even a friend of mine who is a contractor at NASA, they were literally going and pulling up Apollo rockets to figure out how they did it in the past. I mean, they were going way back into old technology for this project to go back to the moon. So on the one hand, it does make sense that, you know, NASA should focus on new technologies instead of going back to these very old technologies. And I know private industry is going to be real excited because one of the companies that we've talked about, Bigelow Aerospace, who helped fund some UFO research and may continue to do that, but has funded paranormal research throughout the years, they'll be the ones taking the lead on space technologies. Interesting.
Right.
Hopefully they'll be more open to sharing what they find.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
In other space news, the Hubble telescope discovered an X-shaped object this week, traveling at a speed of 11,000 miles an hour. NASA says it's probably a comet, but it behaves unlike any comet seen before. It has an X-shaped debris pattern, and its 460-foot-wide nucleus is outside the dust halo and separated from the trail. NASA speculates that this object is a comet resulting from the collision of two asteroids, but they really aren't sure.
Yeah, another one. You know, I think it does look like it probably is like some sort of comet but it demonstrates that there are still a lot of mysteries out there, a lot of unknowns. You know, a lot of people think scientists have it all figured out, but we don't really have a whole lot figured out. You know, just like everything, the more answers we get, the more questions we find.
Which is why, you know, it's great to have more funding going to NASA to do more research here, because there's still so much more that we don't understand before we're even going into space and looking at other planets and other galaxies.
Right.
So. Well, that is it for the news. There are so many more news stories. We don't have time to cover them right now, but all of these stories and more are on our website at openminds.tv. From the Open Minds News Desk, I'm Jason McClellan. Back to you, Alejandro.
All right. Thank you, Jason. That's been a lot of help having someone help me with the news as we go through it. And, you know, you can read these, like I said, at openminds.tv, and you can read some of our news stories. So we have exclusive news that we post. One of our new sections of our website is called Unacknowledged Aviation, and we have a guy, Michael Schratt, who's an aerospace historian, and he's been looking into a lot of that, what we call black budgets, and these are also called unacknowledged because these are aircraft that are being worked on, but they're so top secret that we don't know about it. And some of these are programs that go all the way back to the 60s. But we have a great story on the Brilliant Buzzard. And this was sort of a two-stage aircraft where it's like an SR-71, and it has a smaller plane behind it that launches off of the back of this plane. Some really cool stuff and some great graphics of these things that you can see on the website. Another story you might have seen personally up on the news is this Irish UFO where you see this night vision triangular shape. It actually wasn't taken in Ireland. It was in Fresno, California in December of 2008. Really cool video. And we have a story clearing up all of these mistakes that the popular media has been making and some links to some stories from Fox and MSNBC News where they've been covering this story. So you can go see those on the front page of openminds.tv. However, with our guest coming up here in a few minutes, Barbara Lamb, she's been investigating abductions for a long time. She has been talking to and regressing a lot of people. In fact, she's done lectures on the different types of entities that these people are reporting. So we'll talk about that. And we'll also ask her how she came to know about all of this and what made her believe that these people were telling the truth. So that is all right after the break. We'll be right back talking about abductions with Barbara Lamb. You're listening to Open Minds Radio on KFNX 1100. All right, we are back. You're listening to Open Minds Radio, and I'm your host, Alejandro Rojas. I wanted to tell you at openminds.tv, we also have a great video producer, and he puts together news stories like you would see on CNN or something. They're very well done. You can see those on the front page. Just click those. And a lot of these news stories we talk about, you know, we package these and put them together ourselves with some great graphics and more detail than you're going to get anywhere else. So check out those videos at openminds.tv. And I believe we have our guest on the line. Barbara Lamb, are you there?
I am, yes. Happy to be here.
All right. I'm very happy to have you. I really appreciate the therapists in this field because there are a lot of researchers, and unfortunately, sometimes the people who have abduction experiences are kind of treated like guinea pigs as opposed to, you know, humans and being helped. So I appreciate that people like you are out there to help them.
Well, thank you. I think it's very important that some of us are.
Right. So when did this all start for you? When did you first come to know about the abduction phenomenon and take it seriously?
Well, I was licensed as a psychotherapist in 1976, and I still do regular psychotherapy work with many people. But in the mid-1980s, I began to be trained by the Association for Past Life Research and Therapies. And I was trained in regression therapy. And one of the trainers, I took 5 years of training, actually, and one of the trainers finally said, those of you who are doing regression therapy with people might find that sometimes someone will come to you who's been very mystified, even traumatized in some cases, by being visited by unusual beings who don't seem to be from this planet. And sometimes they're taken away for a while, and, you know, they really want to know what happened, and they're also afraid to know what happened.
Was so that the first that time you had heard about that, the phenomena?
Yes, it was, and that was 1988, and I had never been a fan of UFOs. I never followed that interest whatsoever. So I was really shocked when this trainer said that,
mm-hmm.
and then it was about 3 years later, after trying to find out if I thought that UFOs really do come here and do they have occupants. And so by 1991, my first client came who had been very mystified and traumatized by experiences with these extraterrestrial beings. And since then, Alejandro, there have been almost 700 more individuals who've come for regression work for that type of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because some of them have lived close enough to me. I'm in Southern California, and they've been close enough to me to come for quite a number of regressions. Some have come 20 times or 30 times or 40 times or even 50 different regressions. So it's approximately 2,000 regressions I've done by now. Two people's extraterrestrial encounters.
Now, when you first heard about this in 1988 from your trainer, what did you think about it? Did you think it sounded kind of strange that people would report this?
Well, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very odd. In fact, I was just stunned because I had never heard of it before. And as I said, I never paid attention to UFOs. I just thought that was all science fiction.
Right.
And so this really shocked me, but even more than that, something else happened right at that instant, which was that I heard a big voice inside my own head saying very vehemently, pay attention to this, Barbara. You will be doing this. So between hearing this new thought about people being taken away by other beings, and then this voice, wherever that came from, I don't know, saying, you know, as if pointing a finger at me, saying, pay attention to this, you will be doing this work. So, you know, I was really stunned. I was so stunned that even though we had 5 more days of that particular training, I never even asked the trainer anything more about it.
Wow.
You know how sometimes you can hear something new and you have that experience of cognitive dissonance,
mm-hmm.
which means you just can't put it together with already known. It's new, it's bizarre, you just don't know how to handle it. So I think that must have been the state that I was in. But fortunately, by spring of 1991, I'd become a little bit more acquainted with this work through Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs. And so I knew that there were a couple of people at least, you know, who were working in this way. And so I kind of got acclimated to the thought that maybe this would come to me someday. And sure enough, it did.
Mm-hmm.
And the first treatment of that person, a young woman, seemed to be so successful for her that she went from being highly traumatized and to, in after six sessions, six regressions with extraterrestrial encounters, totally the feature of those sessions, she felt privileged and honored to be chosen by them, even though they had done bizarre things like, mm-hmm. you know, putting an implant behind one ear, and they also incidentally cured an ear infection she had.
Interesting. So when she first came to you, did she believe that it was extraterrestrial in nature?
I don't think she had that word for it, but mm-hmm. she had awakened a number of nights and found that there were these strange little beings in her room. She also was an artist, and she would try to paint all night, try to stay up all night so that she wouldn't be asleep and then these things might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when she'd wake up, I mean, she eventually had to go to sleep, you know, when it was becoming daylight. And then she'd look at the painting that she had done, you know, a couple of hours earlier, and usually she'd see that in the painting was one of these little beings who had visited her.
Hmm.
So we don't know whether the being painted himself in there, you know, or whether she had sort of unconsciously painted the being, because it was her subconscious mind was trying to work this through, and maybe that was one way of sort of trying to release it or at least express what she was seeing sometimes in the middle of the night.
Right.
But I don't think that she had the framework to think of them as aliens or extraterrestrials. They were just very strange
mm-hmm.
and mystifying.
So what were your thoughts? Did you believe these to be a physical type of experience she was having, or perhaps something that was manifesting in her dreams?
Well, that's such an important question. I think that she was really having physical experiences. And I must say that sometimes people seem to be taken by these beings in the astral form. In other words, their body stays where the experience began, and then the astral part, the sort of the soul conscious
mm-hmm.
part of the person, we all have this part, is taken for these experiences. But she, as many, many other people who experience this, she had a number of markings on her body that she never had when she went to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd have some of the typical clues of having ET abductions, and that is she'd have little scoop-shaped marks taken out of somewhere on her body, or she'd have odd little bruises that looked like the tips of finger bruises, or she'd have little triangular bruises, particularly around the navel, or she'd have little pinprick marks, and they usually followed a pattern. They'd be like a circle, perfectly spaced little pinprick marks, or a little straight line of pinprick marks.
Yeah, incredible. Now, did she have these looked at by a physician?
Yes, she did. Her mother was concerned,
mm-hmm.
and her mother would take her to the doctor sometimes, and he'd say, well, I don't know, but they don't look dangerous, so let's not worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, most doctors, you see, are not aware of this particularly going on, so they wouldn't necessarily see a clue like that and think, oh, it must be extraterrestrial encounter.
Yeah, that's something I've found, that you know, I've now that I've been in this field, I used to be skeptical, but then I had these people coming to me who claimed that they were having these abduction experiences, and they had these marks on them. And
yes.
People would say, well, if they have these marks, can't a doctor look at them? And doctors do look at them, but people don't realize that doctors see a lot of stuff that they can't necessarily explain, or they don't know what the origins were, and it doesn't necessarily going to, you know, set off a huge red flag in their mind. They're just going to see if it's harmful or not and let the patient go on their way.
Well, that's right. And I mean, if they can't understand something, if they just don't know about that, of course, there's not very much they can say. Now, another example of this, what you're talking about, is that sometimes a teenage girl or a woman will notice that she's pregnant. And in many cases, she'll think, well, how could I possibly be pregnant? I mean, I haven't been with a male, mm-hmm. or I haven't been with a male for quite a long time. How could I be pregnant? And or sometimes she has been with a male, you know. But she's also had a reproductive process done by some of these extraterrestrial beings.
Great.
So typically she'll go to the doctor and say, you know, I've missed a period or two, and I feel the symptoms of being pregnant. And the doctor will affirm that and say, yes, indeed, you are, and we'll give the projected due date and all that. And
well,
then about...
Actually, let's talk more about that after the break. I said great because I'm glad that you brought up the subject, not that that's a great thing to happen to people. But we'll talk more about abductions, the nature of them, pregnancies and abductions, right when we come back from our break with Barbara Lamb. You're listening to Open Minds Radio on KFNX 1100. All right, we are back. You're listening to Open Minds Radio. I'm your host, Alejandro Rojas. We're talking about alien abductions with therapist Barbara Lamb. A couple points I want to make real quick is that you can call in at 602-277-5369 if you want to ask Barbara or I any questions. The toll-free number is 1-866-536-1100. So give us a call. Ask your questions, some really interesting stuff. And remember, at openminds.tv, we do put up the radio archives on the evening of the show, so we'll have that up in a few hours so you can listen to the show again, because I know many people say they'll listen again to get details of some interesting stuff like this. Now, we're going to talk about pregnancies in relation to alien abduction, which is kind of a scary and interesting area in this field. But to start off with, Barbara, I wanted to ask about, you know, in Harvard, there were two people who have looked into this stuff. One, John Mack,
yes.
who unfortunately has passed away, and he was an extraordinary researcher, and I loved his stuff. He talked a lot about, like you had talked about the astral kind of side of this. But there's also Susan Clancy, who's kind of more along the lines where she believes a lot of this is due to sleep paralysis. However, have you had people come to you who have had conscious memories?
Yes, I have. First of all, I want to commend the work of Dr. John Mack, and mm-hmm. he and I were colleagues and good friends, as it turned out. I escorted him around crop circles for 10 days in England just a couple of months before he was killed. So anyway, we had amazing discussions, as you can imagine.
Oh, I would have loved to have met him. I never got to, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was an excellent, wonderful person, and I have him in totally high esteem. Anyway, yes, he was a very compassionate therapist, as I believe I am as well, and he could stretch his own paradigms, his own understanding of reality, enough to encompass that there could be total truth to what his patients were saying about the extraterrestrial abductions. Susan Clancy, on the other hand, I think, from having heard her in a couple of other interviews in addition to this particular subject, I think it's more difficult for her to stretch her frame of thinking about reality mm-hmm. and wants to prove that some of these very anomalous, unusual things are just, you know, something that are on the physical level and or the mind level, the brain level, the body functioning level, and can be explained in conventional human terms.
Right.
So they're very, very different in that regard.
But a lot of people, she claims that, you know, a lot of this is sleep paralysis, but And it may be, you know, I've experienced sleep paralysis. I guess I could see how people would think that perhaps they were having some sort of paranormal experience there. But I've also talked to a lot of people who remember much of their encounters with these little beings.
Well, some of them do, yes. And typically a person will remember, just the first maybe half minute or a minute or so of these beings approaching them at the beginning of an experience. Or maybe they'll remember several moments when they're returned at the end of the experience. And sometimes people will think that this must have been a dream, what they've awakened remembering very vividly, because they were just asleep. So they assume it was a dream. But if we do a hypnotic regression to go back to that material that they remember from the dream, it so far, all the time, every time, has shown to be a whole experience, not a dream, but an experience that they really relive in regression moment by moment by moment through the whole encounter. And then they conclude afterwards, wow, that wasn't a dream. That was real. And sometimes people will, this is rare in my experience, but some people will remember, maybe two-thirds of an encounter consciously,
right,
if they think about it when they wake up, if the experiences happen when they're in bed at night, for instance. And the co-author of my book, Alien Experiences, by Barbara Lamb and Nadine Lalich, she was one of these people who remembered a tremendous amount. Like, she'd wake up sitting up in bed, and she had always a notebook and a pen and a light right by her, and she'd immediately write down what she remembered. And we did regressions on six of those experiences that she remembered a remarkable amount of. And it was really true what happened as it came out in the regression, except that in the regression there was much more detail than what she could consciously remember.
Right. Now, is there kind of a typical experience, something that is common to these experiences? Maybe you can walk us through kind of how this happens.
Okay, sure, I'd be happy to. And I'd like to give two scenarios and
okay,
definitely not leave out the second one because I think it's so important.
Great.
The first, the typical scenario that I think we tend to hear about and which the media tends to promote if they're talking about this subject, is that a person is either asleep in bed at night and they'll wake up and they're aware that there's a big bright light coming in through the window, sometimes filling up the room, and they know there's nothing out there outside of where they're living that could be that high and shining such a bright light in. Sometimes that bright light will turn into little sparkles of light or sometimes into a sphere of light. And then out of that sphere, somehow, we don't know how, will come one or two or three beings. Or sometimes they'll just wake up and the beings will already be there, usually three, sometimes one, standing right by the side of the bed or at the foot of the bed. And usually at that point, the person can't move. And they also can't call out. They can't call for help, for instance, or yell at them or ask them questions out loud. And if there's a sleeping companion in the room, that person typically is very switched off. In other words, made to be out of consciousness, not harmed,
mm-hmm,
but just as if in a very, very, very deep sleep. And then typically the beings will levitate the person up out of the bed and float the person through the wall or the ceiling or out even through a closed window or through a door. Or they might lead the person in a sort of upright, floating position out of the bedroom door, through the hallway, and maybe out one of the doors of the house. And then typically they're taken up, the beings and the person, in a beam of light into what certainly seems to be a flying craft. Sometimes the person will actually see the craft they're being taken to. And often they don't because they're in such bright light as they're going toward the craft. And then they find themselves inside this craft, which usually seems to be round-shaped. And very often they're taken into a brightly lit room, put on a medical table, and different examinations are happening. Maybe some tissue and fluid samples are taken. Perhaps an implant is being put in to them, a little tiny object which we know exists. And you can see them on x-rays, and they can also be surgically removed. For instance, from Dr. Roger Lear in Southern California, he's removed quite a number now of these mysterious little implants that have been put into people who experience these encounters. And then what I want to make a point of is that very often after the physical examination, which might involve a reproductive procedure as well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but after that, very often the person is taken into another room by other types of extraterrestrial beings, and then very often they're educated, even from very early childhood. They're taught psychic skills. They're taught to move things with their minds. Sometimes they're taught to do healing procedures so that they can heal people back on Earth. Even little children sometimes are wonderful healers, and they've learned that techniques from the extraterrestrials on the crafts during their experiences.
Now, this scenario that you just talked about how many of those, you know, 700 different people you've talked to, what percentage did their experience fit that scenario?
Oh, that's very difficult to say because I would say all of the people who've been able to have more than one regression with me, if they've had a few, for instance, or even many, sooner or later, that part of the material comes up in the regression from their subconscious minds about these extremely positive experiences they've been having. So the second part of this that I want to emphasize, because people, I think, don't usually hear about this in the media, is that many, many people who experience these encounters have encounters with very loving, in fact, they describe them as unconditionally loving
great
beings.
You know what? We've got to go to break right now, but we'll talk more about that in just a minute. We're talking to Barbara Lamb about alien abductions, and they're not all so bad, she's telling us. So we'll hear more about that. You're listening to Open Minds Radio on KFNX. All right, we're back. You're listening to Open Minds Radio, and I'm your host, Alejandro Rojas. We have Barbara Lamb on. She's a marriage and family therapist who has researched abductions, alien abductions, for years. And we were just talking about how they're not all so bad. However, I wanted to let people know the phone lines are open. You can call 602-277-KFNX, which is 5369, to ask your question, or the toll-free 1-866-536-1100. And actually, Barbara, we've got a gentleman, Tom, from Phoenix, on the line right now. So let's take his question real quick.
Fine.
Are you there, Tom?
I am.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Barbara. Hey, I was curious, in all these people that you do regressions on, do you ever see similar personality patterns in them before you do the regression?
Well, that's a great question. I think basically the people who are having these experiences are very normal people. I'd like to state that first off. Normal people to whom unusual things are happening. I experience that they're intelligent. They're usually physically healthy. We could call them good stock in a sense. They're good representatives of human beings. And also extraterrestrial beings seem to be following certain family lines. They're interested in family genetics, one generation to another. But I do not think that these are abnormal people or crazy or have personality disorders. I think they're mentally healthy, although obviously, because of these experiences, they could be very stressed, they could be mystified, and therefore, you know, they might have stress disorders. They might be anxious, particularly about going to sleep at night or driving alone. But otherwise, I think that they're, you know, perfectly normal, intelligent people.
That was a great question by Tom. And what about the education levels? Does it span? What would you say would be the education?
Yes, well, it seems to span all education levels,
mm-hmm.
and all races, all cultures,
wow.
people in all countries. This is definitely a worldwide phenomenon. And, of course, we hear more about it here in the United States, but it does happen everywhere. And different cultures feel different ways about it. For instance, I've heard many times that people in Europe who have these kinds of experiences don't make any big deal about it at all. They just think, oh, yeah, that's okay. And how interesting. I wonder if I'll have another experience tonight, you know, without the fear and the trauma, mm-hmm. which I think is wonderful. And people in Scandinavia, they meet with some very interesting tall, bluish-colored skinned people and some tall, yellow-skinned people. Well, they call them people, but they're not really from the earth. And, of course, you know, anybody who experiences it all, they might have encounters with beings that look extremely human. They're not all extremely different looking than we are. And those seem to come from various other planets. But whatever the beings look like, and there is a tremendous variety of beings, by the way, that come and interact with people, but they all seem to have their own agenda. So sometimes people say, well, what are the ETs like? And I have to say, well, it depends on which ETs you're talking about. And,
right.
Because some of them do such positive things with people and heal them and save their lives. And I mentioned before, they teach people healing skills. But they really can help people out in many, many ways. And they can give them inspirations, and especially these loving beings who very often tend to look a little bit more ethereal than we do. Mm-hmm. In other words, they don't look quite as dense and physical as we look, but they're so knowing. They communicate telepathically. And by the way, I think that a lot of our genius people here on Earth who are inventing wonderful things are actually getting information, being inspired by some of these non-human beings.
Well, and let's get more into motive. What do you feel is the overall motive? Or it sounds like you may think or feel like there are several motives at play here.
Oh, I think more than several.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the beings. For instance, in all of this regression work I've done now since 1991, I'd say there probably are about 40, at least 40 or 50 different types of beings that have been described to me that people have had encounters with. And that's probably not the extent of it. I mean, there probably
wow.
are even more. So it depends on which type of being you're talking about and what happens with them. And any one person who experiences this type of thing at all can have experiences with quite a number of totally different types of beings. Even in one encounter, and then certainly from one encounter to another. So it's a huge mixture, and it's very difficult to just generalize.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into the pregnancy aspect, which you had talked about earlier, how that has happened and why you feel that is happening.
Yes, well, this brings up the subject of the hybridization program,
mm-hmm.
the reproductive program, that some, not all, some of the beings seem to be very avidly engaged in. So what typically happens is that a woman will be encountered and made not conscious, and then they will remove eggs from her ovaries. Now, this could happen to a teenager as soon as she's mature enough, or a woman of any age up until menopause. And although I have known of a few cases even after menopause where the eggs continue to be taken. And then the beings apparently mixed that material from the woman. I assume they do it on their craft. I don't know. No one's actually seen that. But they mix it with their reproductive material and will create a little embryo, half ET and half human.
Well, and why do you feel that may be happening?
Well, there are a number of reasons given by these beings, but I think I feel I need to explain. Once that material is combined, then they put it back into the woman again in another encounter and let it gestate there for, maybe another, month and a half, maybe 2 months. And the woman, of course, as I said earlier, goes to the doctor and she's declared to be pregnant. And then one day she wakes up and she doesn't feel pregnant anymore.
Wow.
But she doesn't remember any miscarriage and she certainly didn't have an abortion. She'll go to the doctor and the doctor will say, that's interesting. You're not pregnant
anymore. Yeah, that's amazing. Now, we've only got a few minutes left and we've got a couple callers on the line. So let's talk to line two, Jorge, from the Phoenix area and see what his question is. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Did you have a question for Barbara?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hello. Are any of these babies ever born?
Yes, the babies seem to be born on the craft. They're put in after the gestation and then taken from the woman. They're put into, of course, her tiny little embryo still, but they're put into a tank of fluid that's connected to some sort of monitoring control machine. And they're guarded over by the extraterrestrials until the baby is full term. And then they take the baby out of that tank of fluid and wrap it all up like we would with a baby here on Earth. And then very typically they will eventually take, maybe after just a couple of months or a few months, they'll take that same mother, Earth mother, again, to the craft, and they will show her the baby and ask her to hold the baby.
Incredible. There's just so much to this. And thank you for being on the show, Barbara. But we're out of time. You can see the link at openminds.tv, the radio tab, the link to Barbara's site. She's got a couple of books out. Her website's barbaralammft.com. And you can watch. She's at the ufocongress.com. You can actually buy some of the videos of Barbara's lectures in the past. And to hear more about this fascinating subject. But thank you for being on the show, Barbara.
Oh, you're very welcome. Delighted.
Next week, we've got Chuck Zukowski, a paranormal investigator, and he's going to talk about some cattle mutilations that he investigated in Colorado the past year. He worked with universities and authorities, police officers, so some incredible cases. So join us next week. Don't forget to check openminds.tv for more on this news, for the archives, and how to advertise with the show. So thank you all for joining us. Thanks for the great questions from the callers. We'll talk to you next week, where we're bringing the UFO subject into the light of day.